You're in the whole 6010. Focus. Fantasy. Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. It is the three best friends that anyone could ever have.
You could ever see.
It's the three musketeers.
Yeah.
It's the big three.
I got to say, though, coming in here, I'm a little nervous because right before we went on air, the producer in the air was like, don't worry about the... And it cut off.
And then it just stopped talking.
There's nothing. So I don't know.
So this show may last 60 minutes like it normally does. It could be done in 5 seconds. So just everybody brace.
Are we on air?
As a result of that. Very festive or celebratory attire on the show today. Daniel, I watched Elf a couple nights ago. What a great... like. What to me, great. The greatest Christmas movie.
Wow.
That's a high bar.
Wow.
But okay. How do you not love it? Okay, what would be your favorite
Christmas favorite Christmas movie is probably A Muppet Christmas Carol.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Excellent.
I think that's... but Elf is like right up there in that top echelon.
I guess the only counterpoint I can make to my own argument, which is a sort of bad way to start an argument, is that I could watch Elf in like July and be entertained.
That's a fair point.
That being said, I watched it a couple nights ago. It felt like the appropriate thing to do on a Tuesday night when there was no football. And I was reminded of just how great it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
I feel like yours. This is the point where you cast your vote.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I have to stick with a classic, which is Christmas Story.
Okay.
And I visited the house in Cleveland.
Did you really?
Went there, did the trip, did the museum and everything. It was really cool. It was really cool. So
Daniel's dressed up accordingly. Very festive. Mm-hmm. I love the outfit right now. Yeah, Thank you
very much. So I told my mom that we were going to be doing... Mama Dop is staying with me right now for a little while. Mama and Papa Dop. So I told them that we were going to be doing Christmas sweaters for Fantasy Football Now on Saturday for the show.
Yeah, we are.
And I said I didn't have one. So she went out and bought me this.
So you're going to wear that today and tomorrow?
Which is my Christmas sweater.
You're wearing that tomorrow too?
And in case you're not... yeah, I'm going to wear it tomorrow.
America's getting a lot of legs right now.
Watching it, what it is it's basically a onesie that only comes down to about halfway down to my thigh.
Yeah.
And it's buttoned up like a little elf suit, and I got a hood that I could actually throw
it
up.
It does look comfortable. Yeah.
Oh, it's quite warm. It's very great.
Yeah.
And then I got some festive... she got me some socks here that have guitars and some Christmas gifts on them and stuff like that. So
yeah. All right, put your leg down. We can see too much.
Yeah, it's pretty white. It's real bad. Sorry about that.
It is a definitely violation. December. Yeah. Yes. That much. Mike also has a Christmas sweater.
Speaking of Christmas movies, I have Home Alone.
That could be in the mix. Kevin!
So yeah, that's definitely up there.
Definitely
that's
up there. Sure. Happy Festivus to those, of course, who celebrate. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have a Christmas thing on today. I was going to wear my Christmas thing, but today marks the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Franco Harris on the receiving end of that reception. He passed a couple of days ago, but Homage made the shirt. Shout out to Homage for these awesome shirts celebrating this very momentous occasion. Obviously, the Steelers will be celebrating it throughout the weekend as well, but just, just terrible timing for Franco Harris, who was just hours away from being honored for, I don't know about most iconic, but I don't know if it's... I don't know what else. What would be more iconic than the Immaculate Reception in NFL history?
I think it's the most iconic.
Yeah, it's got to be out. It's on the short list at the very least.
Yeah, it's there with like Joe Namath with the finger in the air and Vince Lombardi. There's just a few moments you think of, and that's definitely on the short list.
Yeah, obviously continue to think about his family during this difficult time. And I it's obviously extremely sad. I think I hope people have taken a tiny bit of solace in just seeing the reaction from Pittsburgh and football fans, right? Like, I want to be remembered as somebody who lived a life well, and Franco Harris made an immense impact on so many people. So it certainly has shined through over the past 48 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And absolutely. I know we're going to push ahead and talk about football here in a minute, but just on that point, Field, with all of everything, whether you celebrate Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever you celebrate, we are here to support you and celebrate it with you. This is a whole part, like, this time of year is just... it's hard not to think about like the people around you and all the things that we have. And with all of this, obviously I'm really stoked to be able to be here with you guys to be able to do this.
You too, my friend.
Yeah. I mean, is there any better way to spend Festivus than with the two of you guys? It's awesome. This is great. We're going to talk football for about an hour today. We're talking about a fake game. We're going to try to win some championships and help you along the way. Like, pinch me when this dream is over.
Yeah. And a reminder too, are you in questions on social about this? Yes. Fantasy Football Now is tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Saturday.
Yes. That's the main slate. Also, if you play DFS, maybe you're... at DraftKings, and you want to set a main slate lineup, that is for tomorrow, not Sunday this week. There's only three games Sunday, right? Games Sunday.
Well, did you know there are three on Sunday for the first time ever?
Yeah.
First time ever the NFL will have three games on Christmas.
Right.
Now, there was a span of nearly 20 years where the NFL didn't play any games on Christmas. This was a controversial thing back in the day. There was a time in which people resented professional football on Christmas Day. It actually got to like the state legislator level in Kansas. No way. And so the NFL, they said, okay, fine. We hear you. They adjusted the schedule. So for a while, if there was a playoff game, because if Christmas did fall on a Sunday, they adjusted the schedule. And during the playoffs, they would either play the game on Saturday or Monday. So they were away from the NFL, or they were away from football on Christmas. And then in 89, the Bengals and Vikings resumed Christmas Day play. And now I think we're at the point where, don't you feel like people are like, more, at least I feel like, the more the merrier, right? Mm-hmm. Like, give me as much Christmas football as I can get.
So why do you have that on the tip of your tongue?
That's because you can check out my video. You don't see it?
Oh, no, I didn't see it.
Oh, okay, what? The whole video on it. It's on my Instagram. Okay. It's on my Twitter.
Right. Okay. Yeah, off the right. Like, he knows, like, 1989 specifically. It's a really...
I know, that's
like,
incredible.
I think I'm a decent historian. Yeah. I used to watch, like, old footage of the early Super Bowls and, you know, Hank Stram and all that. And I'm like, man, that's
a pull.
I just imagined. I imagine him like up last night after the game, just reading the Wikipedia page on like Christmas games in the NFL. Yeah,
yeah. All right. Before we dive into everything, in case you did not listen to yesterday's podcast, we did a bunch of previews yesterday for all of the Saturday games. We have a few more to get through today, but
we get to breathe today on the show. That's we get to take our time a little bit more. Through it.
Yeah. Let's not take our time with the Thursday night football recap though, if we don't have to.
Yeah,
there was one team that was really good and another team that we don't. I don't like watching play football right now.
When you rock in a hard space for the Jets, right?
Jaguars and Jets. Jaguars won 19-3, and it was behind the really legs of Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. 18.3 fantasy points if you did roll with Trevor Lawrence last night, and most of that came from the ground. 51 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown, Mike, which was great if you had to use him.
Yeah, so let's talk through this because... if you faded this game, which we said yesterday, like we're downgrading pretty much everyone, which we did. We said probably stay away from Lawrence, which he's on last week. He hit what, 18.3, he said? That would have finished like QB 12 or 13 last week, right? So not like a dominant performance. You could still survive if you benched him fine. Evan Ingram, we knew someone was going to have a decent day. That always happens. Even in bad weather games, someone does. He had a big game fine. We had him like our tight end 9.
Yeah, he was the most startable, by the way, because it was a tight end.
100%. Yeah. Travis Etienne, we said start. He was fine. But over that was the three guys I just mentioned, the only skill guys over 10 points in this game. So if you faded Zay Jones and Christian Kirk and Elijah Moore and Corey Davis and Garrett Wilson and Tyler Conn, you're happy.
Yeah,
you're happy. So
you're thrilled.
There was 22 points scored. If you faded this game, you're fine. Yeah. You didn't get crushed by anything. There's going to be no major regrets here. Some people are going to lose because their replacement quarterback got... 12 instead of 18. It's going to happen. But overall, the process was sound here. The weather was terrible. It didn't look as bad on TV as it was there.
It's terrible. I mean, they started talking about it more in the second half.
Yes. The rain just got heavier. It was bad.
There was a good way of describing it. Did you guys notice that about, I don't know, middle of the first quarter, Evan Ingram had one of his catches and slid on the sideline, and you couldn't tell what number he was wearing for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Because all the paint from the field, he happened to roll like perfectly on his back, and the back of his jersey was just flush green from the grass field, from the painted grass, I should say. And all of a sudden it was like, there is indistinguishable number, but we know it's Evan Ingram because he is the only guy that's catching passes tonight.
So, I actually didn't think it was a tight end because he didn't have long hair. I wasn't sure which wide receiver it was.
Yeah. Ingram, I'll tell you what, man, as I said, we have a lot of time today, so we can sort of talk through things a bit more than usual. And I think everything Mike said, totally agree with. As I talked about yesterday, I faded Zay Jones. And I think maybe the lesson was that, like, when you're playing the Jets in general, like, you should always feel pretty, like, you should at least consider fading your wide receivers because those cornerbacks are just nasty. But the Jaguars, such a good example of just like coaching matters. And like at the essence of coaching, I've always, not that I'm a coach, not that I probably ever will be a coach, maybe at like, you know, the lowest of levels, like, you know, when my daughter is playing like, you know, softball when she's 7 or something. Right. But like basically what coaching is at its core is identifying what your player's doing well and allowing them to do that as much as humanly possible. And what the Jaguars have done with their skill players is so impressive. Evan Ingram, who's a tremendous athlete, one of the elite athletes we've seen over the past 20 years at tight end. Like, he crushed the combine, like, few, like maybe not Kyle Pitts level, not that far behind like Kyle Pitts and Vernon Davis, though. And a lot of what they do with Evan Ingram is just RPOs, where the simple read for Trevor Lawrence is dump the ball off 6 yards for Evan Ingram and let him run after the catch. And he did last night. Mm-hmm. Like, so enthused. He has the most receptions by any tight end in a single season in Jaguars history. He's up to nearly 70 catches on the year, over 700 receiving yards. Like, he's got a shot at 100 catches and 1,000 yards. If things go really well, I'm probably generous, but more like 85 catches and
900 yards.
Yeah. Over the last, it's a great season for him.
Yeah, we're going to have fun talking about him in the offseason because that was a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll see. Yeah, exactly. So we'll see where he lands. And they're probably going to try to get him on, a 3-year deal in the offseason.
Well, I'm sure they'll be motivated to bring him back. We'll see if they do. Yeah. But yeah, they certainly would be. And, but yeah, other than that, though, like, again, Christian Kirk, like 5.6 fantasy points. If you played him last night, you're like, oh, God, I'm in a rut already because I played a receiver in terrible weather against the Jets. So,
which is real tough.
Yeah.
Can I? Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, I think the biggest shocker to slash disappointment in terms of a guy we were like, yeah, you could probably start him is Bam Knight.
Yep, totally.
That's what I was just disaster. Say. Negative rushing yards, I think it was. And we had the one catch for 15 yards. It was game script. They just were getting blown out. They gave up on the passing game. They changed to Chris Streveler, a quarterback, and they used Michael Carter. And Knight was actually had a pretty nice cushion in terms of snaps. Yeah. I mean, he was still leading the way, but they just weren't calling a run. So very disappointing. He got scripted out. It's going to happen.
Which was tough. What do you do with this quarterback change? What is this team going to do with this quarterback change?
Well, hopefully Mike White next week.
I was going to say, they brought that up in the broadcast, and I think it was Herbie or Al, but I was like, oh, man, like, what do they do next week? And I think one of them was like, hope for Mike White, basically, right? It needs to be Mike White. They play in Seattle next Sunday, so you would think there's a chance that Mike White plays. That being said, they also talked about how he went to 10 separate doctors trying to get cleared.
Yeah.
He is still not yet being cleared from those broken ribs, but Mike White clearly gives the Jets the best chance for the rest of this season. They're going to need to win out and have some things break in their favor to make the playoffs, but crazy things do happen in the NFL. That's how the world
works. That's right. All right, let's keep rolling ahead with our Week 16 previews.
Yep.
This one, one of the big weather games that we have been talking about.
I'm going to be rude and get my phone out here for a couple of these because I want to make sure that I have the latest updates on weather because it is crazy.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you lineup locks. Field, you let me know if any of these lineup locks have changed based on what you have known from the weather.
Yep.
But for the Bills and the Bears, we are looking at Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Justin Fields, and David Montgomery. All four of them right now are lineup locks. Any reason why with what you see with the weather, that would change, Field Jason?
So the weather right now is calling for a feels like of negative 12 to negative 10 at kickoff. That's not ideal just for life. But as far as football goes, you can play through the cold. The gusts of wind are up to about 35 miles per hour during the game as well. In Chicago, a steady wind of 22 miles an hour. So I would think that probably Josh Allen can continue to throw through that. He's got the strongest arm in the NFL, and they can do damage in the intermediate or short passing game. So not enough to knock Stephon Diggs out of my lineup by any stretch. And of course, with the Bears, there's no Bears pass catcher that you are consistently starting. So I don't think it impacts. The weather's not impact those things that much, in my opinion.
Yeah, and as we saw last night, even in bad conditions, a quarterback can make up a lot of ground with their legs, which Trevor Lawrence did at 40-some rushing yards, had a touchdown, and obviously these two quarterbacks are perfect for that. We know Justin Fields is going to run a lot, and Josh Allen, if they're struggling to throw, they'll run the ball, and it'll make up ground that way. So I'm still starting both quarterbacks.
Yep, feel good about it. It is the first game in NFL history in which both quarterbacks that are starting enter it with 700 or more rushing yards for the season. So two of the best scramblers we have in the NFL, design runners as well. I expect both of them to be very busy as runners tomorrow afternoon.
I feel like I'm going to fade Gabe Davis in this game, in part because of all the things that we talked about. Field, you just said it. When I look at this, it's going to be running backs. And Devin Singletary, one of the only guys that we didn't really mention on that lineup lock list, Mike Clay. Where is it that he falls against this Bears defense?
Yeah, good so I'm 28th. You guys are two spots behind me. Four straight games under 11.5 fantasy points. And look, they're using three guys. We've talked about this. In fact, I don't think I need to say much more. They're using three guys. He is the 1A. Cook's the 1B. Hines is the 1C. None of them are comfortable starts right now. If you have to pick one of the three for your flex, though, you're going Singletary just because he's been kind of ahead in the snap department, but it's not a great situation as they rotate these guys in and out.
Only thing I'll say, you mentioned Gabe Davis, is that we've been looking for him to get on track for a while now. It just seems less likely that he would get on track in a game where it's going to be negative 10 with potentially 30-mile-an-hour gusts of wind.
Yep.
Yeah, if you need any sort of positivity, the Bears have not been good against wide receivers, and Stephon Diggs, I think, is going to draw the shadow of Jalen Johnson. They've really struggled on the other side. Kendall Vildor was in there. He didn't play last week. He was essentially benched. They had Jalen Jones in there.
Yeah.
It's a good spot. It really is a good matchup. So maybe there's a little bit there, but in this wind, I'm with you. I wouldn't want to mess with him. I'd go elsewhere.
It's going to be tough. Tight ends. Are both of these tight ends, potential low-end streaming options, I guess, if you look at it, because of the short yardage, short
Dawson
target.
Knox is Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet is Dawson Knox.
Yeah. It's bad matchups in both situations, not even because of the weather. Bears' third fewest fantasy points and the fewest catches allowed to tight end. So Knox has had two really good games. he had a really good matchup. One of them games was Miami, who was about as bad as Arizona against tight ends, and we pick on them all the time. Yeah. Really good matchup. He took advantage. And then the Bills have not allowed a touchdown to a tight end this season. So not great for Cole Kmet, because you're really banking on a touchdown with him, right? That's really the only time he scored fantasy points this season. So, I mean, that's, you can apply that to most tight ends.
Yeah.
Touchdown or bust. Zero allowed by the Bills and this wind.
Okay.
No, no
thanks. Dumb reactionary question. But for the final 2 weeks of the season, after this week, would you prefer anybody? Travis Kelce is in a different category. Is Evan Ingram the tight end you want the most the rest of the way?
Like number two? Maybe. I mean, Lawrence is just continues to get better and better and better.
Yep.
You can make that case. I mean, Hawkinson's in there, and obviously Andrews. We'll see how he does this weekend.
Like Lamar Jackson could be back. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a case to be made. Again, he's going to be in very interesting offseason discussion.
Yes.
How old is Evan Ingram?
So we just finished the sixth. This will be this. This is the 6 year of his career. Somewhere between 27. Yeah. 27, 28.
In his prime.
Somewhere. Another Ole Miss player. They have had so many dudes recently.
All right, let's talk next game. Commanders at the 49ers. Lineup blocks for this one. Only one for the Commanders. It's Terry McLaurin. Mm-hmm. And for the 49ers, we got CMC and George Kittle. Field, what's the update that we have on Deebo Samuel? We lost him 2 weeks ago. Didn't see him last week. See him this week, maybe?
He is officially out. This one easy, as Deebo Samuel will not play this week. Sounds like if Deebo returns this season, in the regular season, it'll be in week 18. That could be one of those where San Francisco gets him back and wants to get him some snaps. So his absence between now or from the injury to when he plays or debuts in the playoffs is not quite as long, but he will not be available on Saturday. The game is being played at home. He has been ruled out, and I think the viewers are probably sitting there saying, wait, I didn't hear a single lineup lock amongst Commanders running backs. Mm-hmm. This is our weekly segment where Mike reminds us of just how ridiculously good the 49ers run defense has been this year.
How about this? The lowest yards per carry to running backs, the lowest yards per target to running backs, the fewest fantasy points allowed to running backs, and the last running back to clear 13.5 fantasy points or even reach 13.5 fantasy points against this team was some Christian McCaffrey guy. And that was in week five. It was still like in the 80s down here or up here in Connecticut. Yeah, so
he was on the other team at that point.
Now they, like I said before, they were so impressed that a running back was like, good against their run defense. They're like, we'll trade anything for him. We want that guy.
No one's rushed for 60 yards in a game against the 49ers this season. Just a ridiculous stat. I believe it's never happened the first 14 games of a season in the great history of the NFL. Moreover, you've got guys that are splitting carries. We've seen more of Antonio Gibson in the red zone and near the goal line than we expected from Brian Robinson. Mm-hmm. So much so that the offensive coordinator for the Commanders, Scott Turner, was having to answer questions about that this week and saying he wants to see more of Brian Robinson near the red zone. But over the past 4 weeks, he has played fewer snaps than Antonio Gibson. And yes, he has more fantasy points per game, and yes, he has more yards. But still, if this is a game they're playing from behind and they can't run the ball, who's more likely to be on the field? The guy that's a really good pass catcher who was a college wide receiver or the guy who's a hammerhead runner? The answer is probably Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, I mean, Robinson's been over 100 yards in three straight games, and I have Gibson ranked ahead because of the passing split, right? Like if you knock the projection down rushing-wise in terms of volume and efficiency against this defense, suddenly he moves down so far that Gibson jumps him because of the passing down work. So they're 39th and 42nd. If you're starting these guys this week, might be in trouble.
Yep. This is a tough week to have them as in your lineup from an upside perspective. Standpoint. Yeah.
Yeah, you might get 10.1 points or something. You're feeling lucky.
Yeah. Totally.
That might be the best case scenario.
Well, speaking of upside, I sort of feel like with Brandon Ayuk, you know, we talked about no Deebo Samuel. We laid out the lineup blocks. It's just CMC and George Kittle. And when I look at Brandon Ayuk, it looks like a tale of 2 months to me.
Yeah.
Where, you know, this last month has not been the month that I want leading into the fantasy playoffs here. And Mike, I have him outside my top 30. How are you looking at Brandon Ayuk this week?
Yeah, I'm a little higher at 28 just because you're like, there's no Deebo Samuel. It has to happen, right? Like, he's their number one. It's him. It's Kittle. It's McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Purdy's thrown two touchdowns in all three games so far. Like, they have to go somewhere. And at any given point, Ayuk could have a 2-touchdown game. He's done that before. The problem is, he had 4 targets last week, 2 catches for 19 yards, a major disappointment.
Yep.
Under 14 fantasy points in 4 straight and 5 of his last 6. Again, a big fall off from where he was.
Yep.
And Washington also a lot better against receivers. Over the last 8 weeks and 4 weeks, they've allowed the 5th fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. So William Jackson, I guess, was a problem. He's a good player. He was a bad fit.
Yeah.
And they've still had injuries back there. St. Juice has missed time, and Wild Goose has missed time, and they're still Just cracking down. Yeah.
St. Juice and Wild Goose.
Yeah. Shut up. That's two of their top three.
I want a shirt that says St. Juice and Wild Goose.
Is that a law firm or is that the commander's starting secondary?
That's one bourbon that I'm going to make.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. I was going to say one of Daniel's bands, but.
Oh,
yeah.
That's another good one. Shut up.
St. Juice and Wild. That's a cocktail right there.
That is. Okay. Also, it is definitely two co-pilots in the next F-16 Top Gun movie.
Yes. Okay. Now we're talking.
St. Juice and Wild Goose. All right.
I learned that a Tom Cruise movie was filmed and not that far by Connecticut. One of his like older flicks.
Really?
Yeah, I forget which
one
it was.
Not Days
already.
Of Thunder.
Nope.
That's a classic though.
It is.
Robin's Racing, Mike.
Robin's Racing.
I can't remember which one it was, but I that one threw me off. I was surprised by that this morning.
Interesting.
Fun fact. Apparently there are a lot of movies filmed in Connecticut.
Where do you find time to find all these fun facts?
I'm in the makeup chair this morning.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. All right. That's fair. I learn a lot in the makeup chair, you so do. That is yep. totally fair.
Yeah, you are up with the baby at like 4 a.m. a lot, right? So
well,
you're
you know
sitting
what?
There on Wikipedia.
Last night was my first night not being in the house with my daughter. Well, my wife and daughter went up to go see my mother and her parents yesterday. Left from Massachusetts. So this was my first night not with the baby in like 6 months.
House to yourself?
It was so weird. Like, I woke up this morning and I was like, what time is it? Why haven't I ever seen that? Why I have no idea. I was like, I don't. And then, of course, I look up 5:12 and I'm like, all right, screw it. I'm going back to bed. Right.
Didn't the wind wake you up?
Oh, yeah. The wind was crazy last night.
Oh, yeah.
Night,
so, My basketball hoop fell over. I was out there cleaning up the yard today.
Did the wind knock it over or you like?
I was dunking on it. Yeah, that was unrelated. I was just showing off about that.
Yeah.
I dunk on it. Just destroy that.
Mike was dunking it like you dunked on some of those Twitter trolls last night too, huh?
Naturally. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. All right. Let's move
on. War of Worlds. That's what it was. Was filmed.
No way.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah.
All right. I would not have guessed that.
Okay. Yeah.
Next game we have coming up. Eagles at Cowboys. This is going to be a big one in real life and a fantasy.
Any big storyline here?
Not really, I don't think. No big storyline at all. Lineup locks include... Jalen Hurts isn't on that list. Because Jalen Hurts not going to play in this game. We got A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Tony Pollard, CeeDee Lamb, Dalton Schultz. Injuries include Jalen Hurts and Dallas Goedert.
I think Zeke should be on there too.
I think Zeke should be on that list as well.
Who makes this list? Who makes a lineup locks list? Oh, you do. No, I'm just kidding. We only have so much space in the graphics, so Zeke is not on there. But yeah, C is definitely part of that conversation as well. On the injury front, Chris, quickly, Jalen Hurts officially ruled out. Dallas Goedert activated. He's going to play on Saturday.
He will play this week.
Yep, he will
play. Which is what we love to see. All right, so now you've got, and we've talked about this all week long. If this is your first time tuning in, congratulations. If this is not your first time tuning in, this is our fourth time talking about it this week.
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew, under center. How will this affect all the lineup blocks? Really quickly, just ripping through them here.
How will it affect the skill guys in general? As I talk again, I won't go into the deep dive, but essentially there's going to be less quarterback running, a lot less, right? Yep. Hurts is number one in expected touchdowns, and that just counts receiving and rushing this year. So more of that will go to the running backs. That should save Miles Sanders, who actually moved up a little bit in my rankings despite projecting fewer touchdowns from one of the highest scoring offenses in the NFL. So he's fine. A.J. Brown. Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, there's enough volume there for those guys to survive. Even if we downgrade him a couple spots, you know, their targets could go up if Hurts isn't in there scrambling.
Yep.
Minshew's serviceable. We've seen that throughout his career. I think they're okay to start. I still consider all three lineup locks.
And also not a game where you have to worry about weather, which is certainly something that's going to factor into a lot of other pass catchers this week, as we have already talked about, and we'll talk about more. And then Miles Sanders stands to benefit as well here, just because, as we've noted, this season, Jalen Hurts has 23 goal-to-go carries. That's second in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Certainly one of the best players in terms of goal line opportunities and just a goal line ability in the NFL. So you figured that Miles Sanders should get a couple more goal line looks if the Eagles are advancing the football down the field with that much ease. Siri is talking to me right now about something.
He's over here. He's searching the internet again.
That's how he does it.
Siri says goal line stuff Madden 23 ability.
Yep.
Cam Chancellor and Jeffrey Simmons are the first two players
Those
that
guys
come
are
up.
Jeffrey Simmons is great.
They're great. Anyways, fantastic. Miles Sanders without Jalen Hurts could be like the Jeffrey Simmons of offense on Saturday. So
high praise.
Miles Sanders is RB16 for me this week. I do not expect a dud again after last week.
Nope. You're basically starting every single Eagle that you can on the other side of the football.
Although I do have a great one. I have a great tweet lined up. If Miles Sanders smokes tomorrow, like just absolutely crushes.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, like, it's already right. Should I spoil it now? Or
No. Don't spoil it.
But I want to know if he does not come through, I want to know what it was, though, now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll save it. Yeah.
I will save it.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
How are you looking at this Cowboys offense, Mike? Because I got Dak Prescott pretty low here. He has been really frustrating for me to try to figure out how to start.
Wow, 18.
Yeah.
This week with all these backup quarterbacks.
I think I'm too low on him. I got to move him up a little bit here.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I was low on him. I'm QB 12. Look, Since Dak has come back, they are averaging 4.4 touchdowns per game offensively.
Running the football a
4.4. I mean, the Eagles, we just talked about how great they've been. They're 3.5.
Yeah.
I mean, Dallas has been scoring. It's been unbelievable. But despite that, Dak Prescott has one weekly finish better than QB8. That was fourth back in week 8. Also, a very tough matchup. The Eagles, you know, we talk a lot about their offense, but their defense has allowed the second fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. Only two times a quarterback has gotten to 17 points. They were recently, though, Justin Fields and Daniel Jones, who do a lot with their legs. Dak does sometimes. You know, he's kind of hit or miss in that department.
Well, that was the week in which he was a top five finisher, was when he had a rushing touchdown.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I think this could be a surprisingly low-scoring game. You know, with no Hurts on one side, two very good defenses. I think it could kind of be a shocker and be, I don't know, 2017, something like that would not shock me.
Okay, so the positive spin, if we want to imagine a scenario where it's a lot higher scoring than that, is here's what I'm wondering about Dak, and throw away the numbers, throw away the matchup, all that stuff, is that it's a huge game. Mm-hmm. Huge game. Philly's going to win this division most likely, but Dallas needs to win on Saturday to give itself any chance whatsoever to win this division. It's all about the Eagles right now, but the Cowboys are playing at home. Dak has been struggling with bad interceptions of late.
He needs a fix.
At some point, does he compartmentalize and turn all that stuff into a really like a statement game? That's what I'm wondering. Again, the numbers suggest it probably won't be, but this is why you pay a guy $35 million per year to be your quarterback, as you expect statement games out of him every once in a while. What better stage than against the Eagles, playing at home, Christmas Eve, giving yourself at least the fifth seed with a win, and potentially the NFC East crown. Again, I still think the Eagles are going to find a way to win at least one of their final three games, but it would be an opportune place for Dak to have a statement type game.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be
I'm with you.
Really fun, just real life NFL game to watch. Two juggernauts just going back and forth with each other.
We love Gardner.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Gardner Minshew is going to be really fun to watch as a backup. See how this offense looks underneath him.
Yeah. So. And actually, these teams playing week 18 last year, the Eagles played like no starters and they hung in there with Dallas for a little while in that game. I think through like a quarter, then it fell off. I mean, it was all of Dallas and Dak had his best game of the year, had like 4 or 5 touchdowns. Minshew was okay. You know, he had like 14.5 fantasy points, but again, it was with all the backups, you know, so I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. I think you can stream Minshew, though, you know, especially with the situation around the league. He's certainly on that QB1 radar.
Yeah, we need another one of those Dak games here this week for everybody. All right, one more game to talk about before we do a quick break, and that's the Steelers and the Raiders. Lineup locks for this one include Josh Jacobs, Davante Adams, and Pat Freiermuth.
Just a quick graphic note. Josh Jacobs is RB2, not 22, but you get the point. Of course, he's projected for 19.5 fantasy points. So if you are watching, are bad. But Josh Jacobs, of course, very much a lineup lock this week. No injuries to report here of major significance. So it looks like all the guys you're expecting to see will be available on Saturday. It sounds like Kenny Pickett will start for the Steelers as well.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. We saw Darren Waller for the first time last week. Mike, how high does he climb in your ranks for you this week?
Yeah, tight end 10, and that's with Ingram pulled out of the rankings already after last night. So he's borderline. 3 targets last week. He did score a touchdown. If he didn't score that touchdown, we'd be having probably a more pessimistic conversation, or at least that would be the consensus on him, I think, anyway. But 48% of the snaps, 66% of the pass routes. Those numbers should rise this week, which helps you feel a little bit better about him. So, again, you're just still – we don't know that for sure. There's some risk there because he was so limited last week and only saw the 3 targets. So, might be your best option, but, you know, he's borderline.
Yeah. From there, I look at the rest of this, and it's, you know, Najee Harris, I feel like
– he's close to a lineup lock.
Yeah, he's real close to me. With good the way matchup. He's, played
he's
the last
so
couple
busy.
Of weeks.
He's finding the end zone. Yeah. He, you know, he's the volume's going to be there, right? The big thing with Najee is that – he really hasn't been catching passes at anywhere near the frequency he was last season. You'd love to see that go up. I'm hesitant to think that it's going to change dramatically in week 16 of the NFL season, but it's going to be cold. It is running the football weather on Saturday night in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so match the season high with 24 touches last week. That's the good news. Touchdown 4 of his last 5 games. Yep. That's the good news. To your point, though, 0 targets last week. He has 5 targets in his last 4 games, and this does not align well against this defense, right? Because the Raiders have allowed the 4th most fantasy points to running back. Seems like a good matchup, but almost all of that's been in the passing game, right? Mm. They're actually solid against the run, or at least competent against the run, so that's not a good matchup for how he has been utilized. So a little bit more nervous. That's why he checks in at RB20 after a 24-touch game.
Yeah.
You know, he's fine. You know, like you said, maybe a lineup lock. You're probably not going to beat him out, but
close.
Probably a back end RB2.
And when you look at the rest of these pass catchers, you know, Deontay Johnson continues to get a ton of volume here in spite
Christmas
of not getting in the
miracle,
end zone.
Baby. Can we get a Christmas miracle? Yes, can we?
A touchdown?
Can we get a Christmas miracle of a touchdown for Deontay Johnson? That's all I'm asking for.
I put him in my lineup blocks list. He was pulled out. Someone disagreed with me. I put him there. Look, 8 or more targets in 4 straight games, top 25 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
10 targets last week, caught them all for 98 yards. He's been a top 25 receiver 2 weeks in a row with 0 touchdowns. Again, I mean, he's a top 25 for the season with no touchdowns this season.
That's absurd. Is he really a top 25 wide receiver with no touchdowns?
5.1 expected touchdowns. One of the flukier touchdown seasons we've seen in a long time.
Will he get one this season?
Yes.
Okay. There's only three games left, so.
I think so.
There's a 33% chance it happens on Saturday night.
And they're playing the Raiders, so maybe it's like 63% chance.
What is going to be the reaction from your couch when he scores a touchdown?
Not a backflip.
Not a backflip.
No, I can't do that. I might try, but I'll break something. So not that. Maybe I'll stand up. I'll think about it.
Can we do more than just Deontay Johnson though? Like, can we just get one for all of us? Like, can you take Deontay Johnson and you take Mike Evans and can I have one and can we just get all three of them?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. Who do you want? Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara.
There's a good one.
Deontay Johnson and Mike Evans. Can we all three? They need touchdowns here this weekend.
Totally fine with that.
Anytime touchdowns. Let's put it all into play. We'll see. You know what I mean?
By the way, when one of them scores, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna grab our phone and start texting or tweeting. Like that's what you do. That's what you do in this century.
Anything else with this game you want to talk about?
This is all for our Christmas Eve game. So when we come back, we're going to talk about three games being played on Christmas Day and then one the day after Christmas in Indianapolis. But before we can do that, Daniel.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
Mm-hmm. Almost as much as I would love a Deontay Johnson touchdown on Saturday.
Of course, Field. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV, even help with your homeowners or renters coverage, plus add an easy-to-use mobile app available 24-hour roadside assistance and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways that you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today. All right, we're talking Christmas Day games here, as Field alluded to, the 1 p.m. game, Packers at Dolphins.
Okay.
And savor this game, people.
In Miami.
Savor this game, because the next two games, Broncos-Rams, Cardinals playing host to the Buccaneers.
Not great.
So this is the one to watch if you're picking one.
Again, one of those ones where when you look at the beginning of the year, you're like, wow, these are going to be fun games. Mm-hmm. All right, Packers and Dolphins lineup blocks include Aaron Jones, Tua Tagovailoa, Tyreek Hill, and Jalen Waddle. All that sort of makes sense for me.
Yep.
What I don't see on there is Aaron Rodgers or any of the Packers pass catchers Field. I want to ask you about Aaron Rodgers. Where do you have him this week?
Well, before I get to that, Daniel, quickly, A.J. Dillon off the injury report. He is good to go. Jeff Wilson Jr., we continue to monitor. He's got that hamstring injury that cost him last week's game. We'll see whether he is available. Do not know as of right now whether Wilson will give it a go. I believe we have him ranked for now. He's still in the projections. Mm-hmm. We'll update if we get any more clarity today. This is when their Friday injury report is due. You've seen a bunch of players' game statuses already announced because of all the games being played tomorrow. We'll have more clarity later on today here for Jeff Wilson. Aaron Rodgers, though, back to your question, Daniel, is quarterback 15. It's a pretty good matchup. This Dolphins defense is not exactly the defense that we saw last year. As a matter of fact, far from it. It hasn't been because of a bunch of personnel change. I just think they haven't played nearly as well. They do have some good individual pieces. Some of the numbers might be skewed by the fact that they're constantly scoring so many points on offense that teams are just throwing the ball so darn much against them. I've got Aaron Rodgers as quarterback 12 because I do think that should be a reasonable opportunity for him to throw for more than 230 passing yards, which he hasn't done in 5 straight games. And weather, not really an issue here in Miami. I think it might be a little bit cooler than you normally expect in Miami on Christmas Day, but we're talking about like 70 degrees as opposed to -7 degrees.
Yeah, this week you're in some circumstances, especially if you had Jalen Hurts, you're just trying to find someone to hold down the fort at quarterback and get you 15 or so points. That may do the trick. And Rodgers is one of those guys. Look, he doesn't have a lot of upside. He has one weekly finish better than QB12 this season. That was a QB9.
Crazy.
And right when he started to pick up there with Watson, we thought, here we go, he's back. And it just hasn't happened. Yep. He's kind of face planted. So to your point, Miami's second most fantasy points quarterbacks this season. Yep. So
much. Very generous.
Yeah. I mean, he could throw a pair of touchdowns. Maybe he gets the three. Yep. Maybe he gets the 200, 230 yards. He's serviceable. There's just not a lot of upside there.
Do we think A.J. Dillon's momentum has been enough over the past few weeks? No. Okay.
And here's why. His usage has not changed. He has played 48% of their offensive snaps this season. Last week, in that big game. He played 38%. Wow. Yeah, and so it's been pretty consistent. Aside of the game where Aaron Jones got hurt and he played 75 a couple weeks ago, that's it. I mean, yeah. his usage really hasn't changed. It's just, does he get into the end zone?
He's on like his Clyde Edwards-Helaire stuff right now.
He had the big week one. He went all the way down. He was terrible for like 8 straight weeks, and then he's just jumped back up the last couple of weeks. And I don't know, maybe down the stretch they try to use him more, but again, his usage is pretty much the same. It's just the results have been a little better. So I'd be really nervous about another dud game, not close to a lineup lock. I mean, we're still at 35th. That's about where we've had him all season. That's where he belongs.
Different player, but I am also nervous about Christian Watson and potentially what, you know, what we saw the first three games when he really came on and what we saw last week is quite a bit different. Still, though, based on the way that Aaron Rodgers utilizes him and what we expect to be this game where they're going to have to throw. Christian Watson is someone that I have as a flex play wide receiver 24 for me. I'm still starting him, but I do have a little bit of hesitance based on what we saw last week because I think that's closer to the norm than the 2 to 3 touchdown performances that we've seen, obviously.
Good news is he played a ton of snaps last week.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He has 6 or more targets in 5 straight games. Mm-hmm. And while he has not been able to crack more than 50 yards in 3 of his past 4 games, he just needs one play. I mean, we're talking about a player that clearly and immediately became one of the best deep threats in the NFL because of his world-class speed. So I've got him as wide receiver 20, a bit more optimistic, but not super far off from where you were, Daniel. I think the volume plus the snap share plus the potential for a big play makes him a reasonable option this week in a good matchup.
Yeah, and his role is actually, what did we say last week? He had 3 straight games with 6 targets.
Yeah.
Romeo Doubs comes back last week. Didn't play a lot. He had like 5 targets. Watson had 7 targets, right? So his target share was about the same. And I will say this. I mentioned this stat yesterday. DK Metcalf by far leads the NFL in end zone targets with 20. The next closest is 13. Since week 10, Metcalf's still first in that category. Tied for second, Christian Watson.
There you go.
6. He's right there. Wow. He had another one last week. He's still getting the work near the goal line. I feel solid about him, especially in this matchup, again, against Miami, who gives up a lot through the air. Fringe wide receiver, too.
Are you looking at any of these other Packers wide receivers? You talked about Romeo Doubs. Alan Lazard, has he worked his way into a...
Nope. Can't trust Doubs. Only played about a third of the snaps last week. Alan Lazard under 12 fantasy points in 5 straight, under 4 targets in 2 of his last 3.
Kind
of taking a backseat to Watson. I mean, if not the worst flex option, for sure. I could see him having a bounce back game, but I don't feel great about the ceiling right now.
Yep. All right, let's move on and talk Broncos at Rams. Lineup locks for Broncos at Rams include...
Actually, exclude.
Exclude. Everyone. We don't need a graphic. No one. Yeah, this is the one I was talking about yesterday.
My mic didn't just cut out there.
No, your mic is still active.
Oh, okay,
no
that's
one.
What it is.
No lineup blocks.
No lineup blocks.
Not
here.
A one.
Injuries, though, do include a few people fielding Russell Wilson and Cortland Sutton.
Russell Wilson now off the injury report. He's practicing in full. He'll start on Sunday. The team actually cleared him, or he got cleared, I should say, through the concussion protocol last week, but the team opted to take a bigger picture approach in that game against Arizona. Brett Rypien started. They won. And Russell Wilson will be back this week. Cortland Sutton, uncertain to play right now. Again, because it is a game on Sunday, we'll have an official report. My guess would be that Cortland Sutton comes in as questionable. He remained limited in practice with that hamstring injury. You may have also noticed that Latavius Murray did not practice one day this week. It is bitterly, bitterly cold right now in Colorado. Like, we're talking minus 20 level cold with the wind chill as a result of that, because they're playing the game in Los Angeles. They moved their practices inside that turf, a little bit less forgiving. So a couple of veteran players for the Broncos did not practice. It just made it. So Latavius Murray expected to be all good come Sunday for the Denver Broncos. And fantasy football is just a strange game we play, right? And certainly if you have, you know, Patrick Mahomes or Justin Jefferson or, you know, Christian McCaffrey, you feel great about your chances in the playoffs. But I'm just here to tell you, Latavius Murray's are going to win you championships or potentially win you semifinal rounds. That's how fantasy football works. Guys that out of nowhere are doing real work for you, and the volume is unmistakable right now, Mike.
Yeah, I wanted some coin in DFS last week.
I was just
going
to say that.
That was a controversial play, but he was like 5,100 at DraftKings last week.
Great call by you. Great call.
So he looked good. 25 touches, 142 yards, and a touchdown last week. The only possible reservation here, the Rams defense has been... Actually, no, they've been struggling. It's running back 7th most fantasy points the last...
Yeah, they have been. Yeah.
The only hesitation I would have here is that Chase Edmonds... Designated to return. He's designated to return, right? I don't know. Yep. Was he activated yet?
I'm sorry. He was designated to return from IR. Yes.
Maybe he comes back and plays a role here. But again, 64% of the snaps for Murray last week when he had this big game. Even if Edmonds is back, I think he kind of steals from Marlon Mack a little bit. I could see a similar snap here. So not too worried about that. I think Murray's a fine flex option.
I would agree because it feels like stylistically Chase Edmonds more mirrors Marlon Mack than he does Latavius Murray, who is a no-nonsense north-south runner at this juncture of his career.
Although Mack, I mean, throughout most of his time in Indianapolis, he wasn't a target guy. He'd get like nine and have 260 carries.
Sure,
right?
I should say that based off how he's being used right now in Denver,
I've been shocked by that.
Yeah, Chase Edmonds, that's probably more by necessity than
design.
I was
just going to say that. They have to throw, eventually, you have to dump it off at some point, right? Yeah, and they just don't they need Chase Edmonds back, I guess, to handle some of those snaps.
If Courtland Sutton doesn't roll, how will that affect Jerry Jeudy for you this week?
I'll bump him up. I mean, I'm at 23 in the rankings with Sutton in the projection, so he probably would be a lineup lock if Sutton is out, but it's looking positive for Courtland Sutton. By the way, last three full games with Jerry Jeudy on the field, Courtland Sutton under 25 yards in all of them.
Disgusting.
He just cannot put since what, his second year or third year, he hasn't been able to put like a full season together. I don't think it's really his fault. He's a really good player. But again, he kind of disappeared. He bounced back when Jeudy was out, but it's tough to feel great about him right now. But Judy's been awesome.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm trying to spin things positively today. The only maybe positive outlook for Courtland Sutton is that prior to suffering that concussion, Russell Wilson was having his best game of the season.
That's a good point.
Maybe he found just a little bit, not a ton, but just a little bit of confidence and momentum in a matchup that, especially if the Rams don't have Aaron Donald, who he's the best defensive player in the world still. Yep. Like, that helps. I don't care that he doesn't play defensive back. Like, not having Aaron Donald does help your passing game. It helps your running game on offense. It helps everything on offense.
A good example of that is Quinnen Williams playing for the Jets last night out of the gates running people
strip
over.
Sack and, on the first drive.
Yep. I was a little nervous about Lawrence right out of the gate because Williams was just destroying dominant. The interior
line. He's absurd, man. It's a big teddy bear.
Next game we have Buccaneers at Cardinals.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Just keeps getting better.
Time game. If you guys haven't checked it out, I've started watching it. I've enjoyed the in-season Hard Knocks for the Cardinals.
Have you?
Yeah, it's good stuff, man.
I'll check it out. Buccaneers
like that access.
At Cardinals lineup locks include Chris Godwin, James Conner, and Nuke.
Receiver 14 for Nuke. I know that says
44.
So 14 for 14? Nuke. So he'll be in there. He'll be in your lineups on Sunday.
Can I ask you about Tom Brady? Field?
Yeah, you can.
Do you mind?
Because
I feel like Tom Brady is a guy that I have almost no confidence in starting. However, this week, when I look at the elements of all the things, like Tom Brady's been throwing the ball enough, and he's in a climate positive situation where it's like, how do you not trust him?
So there's certainly a case, Daniel. I'm assuming, like, what's the one thing you want for Christmas the most this year? Like a
Mike
new guitar?
Evans touchdown? Oh, okay. Alvin, but
yeah,
you know.
Besides those, the thing that you would want, like, this
specific new guitar. I'll say new guitar.
Okay, so, like, I think Tom Brady could be delivering you a new guitar on Sunday night.
Okay.
Because it is a very good matchup. The Cardinals secondary is inexperienced. It's banged up. The question marks for me for the Bucs is just basically protecting Tom Brady, which is the same question we've had throughout the season. The Cardinals do have a pretty good defensive front. We'll see, though, if they can protect him enough, that will be good. And then, like, the volume is just absurd. Tom Brady is the least efficient passer in the NFL. Not quite, but very close to it.
Like it, yeah.
But he's passing the ball 45 times a game. Mm-hmm. Like, we talked about Brock Purdy earlier on the show. Like, he'll be lucky to reach 35 on Saturday. And Brady could reach 50 and no one will bat an eyelash. Mm-hmm. So it's a good opportunity, good matchup. We've seen teams throw the football and move the football with success against this Arizona Cardinals team. And maybe the wind's been taken out of the sails of this Cardinals team too. Like, you know, they're no longer playing for the playoffs. They're down to their third string quarterback. There's a lot of uncertainty surrounding the coach. The GM is on a personal leave right now. There's uncertainty about the entire organization right now. Are they going to dud on Sunday night? And by the way, I know that I don't think the Bucs are going anywhere in the playoffs. I don't. But there is a chance, maybe even a real chance, that by Sunday night when they take the field, they win, they're NFC South champions.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
And I know that they probably are still going to be NFC South champions even if they lose, but maybe they just smell blood. I'm not going for narratives this week. I'm just trying to tap into the human side of this all.
Sure.
Maybe Tom Brady does have a reasonable... I've got him a quarterback 9, so I'm not like, you know... He's not elite this week, but strong enough to be inside my top 10.
Yeah, we just haven't seen a high ceiling from him. But again, this week of all weeks with the weather and so many backup quarterbacks out there, he's serviceable. Sometimes you just need a floor. He's at least 16 fantasy points in 4 of his last 5. Hasn't hit 20 since week 4.
Yep.
But that heavy volume is going to give you a high floor. Did have 3 touchdowns last week, too. Yep. And Arizona, by the way, even, you know, including the whole season, when at times they were healthy and playing okay defensively, second most passing touchdowns allowed with 25 this season. So there's something here. And if he throws for 3 touchdowns, I don't think we're going to be surprised.
Not at all.
I'm with you.
When I look at these Buccaneers running backs, we're all on Fournette ahead of Rashad White just by a little bit. But Here's the thing with Leonard Fournette. Six straight games, he's been between 10.6 and 14.8 fantasy points. He's just such a tight grouping. There's almost no ceiling there, but it's a guaranteed floor.
Yeah,
he is going to get you a guaranteed floor from that standpoint. So he's the guy that we are trusting this week over Rashad White more than anything else. And Mike, I do want to talk about, unless you want to add anything on the running backs, I do want to talk about.
I was just going to say, I mean, Fournette had an edge of 10, what was it, 10 snaps last week? I think I had 39-29, had an edge of 10, and also has an edge in passing down work. And if they're going to be close in carries, which they were one off last week, that's going to push you towards Fournette.
Sure.
I mean, even if White plays a little bit more snaps, I mean, if Fournette getting the passing down work, that's more valuable than the carry. So that's where he gets the edge. Also, by the way, Arizona's 16 touchdowns to running backs this season. That is fourth most. So they've struggled in that department as well. So they're both flex options. I would lean toward Fournette.
Over the last 2 weeks, Leonard Fournette has run 20 more routes than Rashad White.
That's
52 to 32.
Substantial, yeah.
Yep.
Both of them could very easily have five catches
in this game.
Yeah, they could. Yeah.
Hopefully Mike Evans has five catches in this game, and one of them is in the end zone. Is he make the shadow report this week, Mike Clay?
He sure does, and he gets the upgrade. 10 targets in two straight games, so we're getting the volume. We've talked about that before.
It's getting there.
Yeah, 83 yards last week.
Yes.
Yep. 10 straight games without a touchdown is hard
to
believe.
Unreal.
Hard to believe for this, but it could be this week. Look, last week, Arizona was missing their number one corner, their number two corner, and their number three corner. Mm-hmm. All three were out. We'll see if they go this week, but it doesn't really matter. Even when they've been on the field, it's been a struggle. Six most fantasy points to the perimeter over the last 8 weeks, the 10th most fantasy points to receivers as a whole as well. This can be exploited. They're going to be throwing the ball.
Yeah, like Byron Murphy's a good player.
He is.
But
he's
like if you were to name the number two and number three corners for Arizona, like that would be an interesting exercise for like the layman football fan.
Patrick Peterson is probably still going to be one of the biggest like names that gets mentioned.
Oh yeah, totally.
He's not even on Minnesota.
It's like his third season in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's Antonio Hamilton, Marco Wilson.
Yep.
That's who we're talking about. So yeah.
Worth noting, by the way, on the injury front, I forgot to mention this before. Yeah. Hollywood Brown added to the injury report yesterday. So keep an eye on that.
Oh, that's not great because the Cardinals are also going to probably start Trace McSorley this week, his first NFL start, which is probably why Nuke is one of the only lineup locks, because not only has Hollywood been not great, but what are you going to do with him with Trace McSorley in her center field?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the second half of last week's game, and granted, it's always tough to judge a player when he gets inserted into the game because of an injury. He hasn't had a lot of practice reps, and he hasn't had a lot of preparation. But it was not a particularly efficient or pretty offensive effort for Arizona with Trace McSorley. And he was a phenomenally fun college player at Penn State. Okay passer, but better athlete than he was passer. I'm not sure that has changed over his past few years. So I expect it to be a tough day passing-wise, which is why DeAndre Hopkins is a bit lower than you normally see him in our rankings, and why Marquise Brown, on top of the fact that he's had no ceiling of late, he's losing targets compared to where he was at the beginning of the year, and now he's hurt. Not exactly a guy I want to have in my lineup this weekend.
Yep, this could look a lot like, Bucks have a good defense. This could look a lot like the Jets offense did last night. The weather won't be as bad, but it could be a rough go for the passing game.
They're definitely going to like open the roof, and then it's going to start snowing.
Stop.
That'd be awesome,
right?
Yeah. What's the temperature supposed to be? Are they going to be able to open the roof down there?
I don't know. Let's find out right now. I feel like they're actually pretty conservative with keeping the roof closed. Like, I think if there's any threat of rain, they close the roof just because.
I wonder what that does. It has nothing to do with fantasy, but like when you open the roof just a little bit, how does that affect like the kicking game? Do balls get high enough in there that like any kind of wind structure comes in and affects anything?
I think certainly like the ideal kicking surface is
in a dome,
roof just closed.
Yeah.
But yeah, no concerns on whether there. It's the feels like temperature at game time is 65 degrees.
Oh, so that's rough.
Clear.
So rough out there.
Yeah, so
wow.
Should be beautiful.
Yeah, so like one of the final games that you watch, hopefully it will be the nicest weather of all of them. One last game to talk about here.
Monday Night Football. Let's ride.
Go. It is Chargers at Colts.
Wait, isn't it go Broncos now?
Oh, yeah.
No. Lineup blocks included.
Let's ride, it's dead.
Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, Michael Williams, and Michael Pittman for the Colts.
Called him Michael Williams. He's so good by his first name, by his God-given name.
How
Maybe
about a
parent-given name, but whatever.
Mike Williams makes the wide receiver cornerback list here, Mike Clay.
He sure does. So Stephon Gilmore, we've talked about.
Awesome.
I won't list all these names, but I could list off all the perimeter receivers, the number ones that they face this season. If you add them
it's
all
a bunch
together,
of good wide receivers too.
It's a lot of guys. Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown. There's a whole host of them. Stephon Gilmore shadowed those guys on 92% of their combined perimeter routes. There's like 10 receivers here. It's a long list. So we should expect that with Mike Williams here as well. And if Williams is, he's 83% perimeter, though, but a few times he's in the slot, you'd expect Gilmore on Keenan Allen. But again, Keenan Allen's the primary slot for the Chargers. He's going to dodge Gilmore most of the time. I wouldn't worry about that at all. The only thing is, how good is the Colts pass defense right now? I mean, they came into last week having allowed the fewest fantasy points to receivers.
They're good.
They've fallen, and it's late in the season. So to fall from first to fifth in that category is rough, and that's what happened after
game,
you gave up
74
fantasy points.
You know what? So a couple things here is we talked about this on the show.
I know.
It's just like the circumstances. Like you're playing such a different defense when you're up 33-0. I have a rule. Like if a team – if there's like an indictment on a team's pass defense after facing Justin Jefferson, it's like – that doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, oh man, do we have what it takes? Like, it's Justin Jefferson. He's the most prolific receiver
for
three seasons, literally ever. Like, he's going to break the record for most catches through three seasons. He's going to break the record. He's already broken the record for most yards through three seasons. If he has one more 100-yard game, he will break the record for most 100-yard games through 4 years, and he's in his third year. Like, literally, maybe the greatest receiver at this stage of his career we have ever seen. So, yes, I'm a little bit, like, I think this Colts team is going to come play on Monday night, even with very little to play for. They've been, like, pride has been the thing for a while now. When you've got a head coach that's on there it's there on an interim basis, like I expect them to be prideful on Monday night. Whether they're good enough to win is a different story. Mm-hmm. I expect them to show out. Like I think it will be difficult for Mike Williams to have a monster game on Monday night. Not moving out of my lineup, but I don't expect a 150-plus touchdown.
Yeah, I agree with you. I will say this. They allowed three touchdowns to receivers last week. The Colts did. The week before, they also did. They had allowed six total the first 12 weeks of the season. 2 weeks in a row now, they've allowed
three.
What did
they play 2 weeks ago? Do you recall?
I don't. What game was that? I don't know. I don't remember.
I'm trying to think of the circumstances, right? But like,
how
did
I can't remember what it was. But
I'll figure it out while we're sitting here talking. Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, something to keep an eye on. By the way, Justin Jefferson, I don't know if you just slipped this in there and I missed it, but real chance to break the receiving yardage record.
Like
he's very close.
Calvin Johnson's record?
Yeah. I mean, he needs like, my projections right now have him like 20 yards short. And, you know, that's like about 9,500 yards a game.
Wow.
So if they give him a couple extra targets against like Chicago in week 18,
sure,
he could get there. So
last one was when the Colts debacled against the Cowboys on Sunday.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. A couple games, like they still count, right? But I say on average, I believe in this Colts defense. I really do. But let's talk about the rest of this, though.
Let's talk about the running backs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say this about the Colts pass catchers. I am intrigued and enthused by Nick Foles being under center.
Okay.
I think he's going to bring some life to this passing game. Not elite. I mean, there's a reason why he hasn't played at all this year. But, like, if anybody in the history of professional football is capable of collecting dust for the first 15 weeks of the season and then coming out on Monday Night Football and throwing for like 260 yards and two touchdowns, it is Sir Nick Foles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the wrong team, but kind of flashbacks here with the Eagles, like MVP candidate quarterback going down with a late season injury, and then Nick Foles is starting the next week. Wrong team, but
different narrative, so, but still, I'm excited about what he'll. So I think Michael Pittman's forecast is slightly sunnier with Nick Foles. Now let's talk about the Colts running backs because, of course, no Jonathan Taylor. They have subsequently signed Jordan Wilkins from the practice squad, Zach Moss, and Deion Jackson. I talked about this just a moment ago with Trace McSorley. It's always hard to judge a player or a situation when an injury occurs in the middle of the game because you haven't been preparing for it. But it is worth noting that last week, when Jonathan Taylor basically gets hurt after his first touch, that Zach Moss played 53 snaps compared to just 25 for Deion Jackson. That's reflected in our rankings. We all have Zach Moss inside our top 30. We all have Deion Jackson outside our top 40. Am I a little nervous? It won't be nearly that disparate on Monday night?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I am.
Yep.
But especially in a non-PPR league or if you play in a half-point PPR league, I think you do way worse than Zach Moss on Monday night. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's out there in most leagues. You can pick him up and throw him in your flex if you're in a tough spot. Hopefully, if you're in your final four or whatever, you're not in this position, you don't need to go this route. But if you do, I agree. I think he's the 1A here. But it makes me very nervous because I think three guys are going to play. Yeah. Jordan Wilkins came from basically the street to playing a substantial role earlier this season. If you tell me he played 20 snaps in this game, would not shock me at all. But it is a great matchup, too, obviously. Chargers, we pick on them all the time. Yeah. 5.5 yards per carry to running backs. That is worse in the NFL. Tons of fantasy points. So there's some flex appeal here, but you should be... shouldn't feel great about it.
The same way that I don't like starting, we talk about, you hate starting someone on Thursday and they just put up a dud. I hate playing a guy, and it's not about Zach, but like I hate playing a guy like Zach Moss, who I don't have a lot of confidence in the final game of the week too. Because then it's like I'm just sitting there waiting, being like, oh man, I have no idea what that's going to be. I have no idea. Should I swap him out? And then I'm just analyzing the entire time.
And if that ends your season too, you don't forget that player for a long time. You don't. You remember that night you spent the whole day waiting for that player to go.
Waiting all day for Monday night in this
case. Or maybe they'll be your hero too. I don't know. Maybe, if Moss wins you a league, or you get to the championship, you buying a jersey?
I think so.
With your winnings?
Yeah. If Zach Moss gets you to the championship.
Zach Moss jerseys yet?
Yeah, they need to.
Buffalo one.
Custom.
Not Colts.
Yeah.
We will if he wins.
You know what? Like he has pedigree. Like, this is a third round pick a few years ago. He's a good football player. He's a capable running back. Circumstances did not work out in Buffalo, and he was part of that trade for a reason. Buffalo did not need him any longer. He has not met expectations, but this is not a nobody who's getting an opportunity. He's a real back.
He had I loved him. I loved his profile coming in. Was a huge Moss fan. He had a rough combine.
Yep.
And it kind of reminds me of Kyren Williams, actually. Same thing.
Ooh, yeah, I agree.
And he's not, I mean, we can't pick on him yet. He has ways to go. Hasn't played a lot, but hasn't really broken out with the Rams like we kind of hoped he would. Yep. Akers has taken that job back. But anyway, that's a topic for the offseason.
That's going to wrap it up for here in week 16. Can we tell people what we're doing over the next couple days so they know where we're going?
Oh, yeah. Good call. Reminder. So tomorrow, Fantasy Football Now. That means Saturday when I say tomorrow. Saturday, Christmas Eve, Fantasy Football Now, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., as we always are over on ESPN2. And then this show will be back on Wednesday. We're going to take a couple days for the holidays. Hope you all are spending time with your loved ones and don't really want to listen to a podcast during these next few days. But of course, you can find everybody on social media for instant reactions and things like that. And then we'll be back next week, Wednesday through Friday, before getting into a once-a-week schedule beyond that.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty great.
Yeah.
I'm really excited.
It's winding down, guys. Here we go.
I need some playoff dubs here.
But man, not fun, huh?
I'm going to miss you guys.
Yeah.
Not fun that it's winding down. I miss football already.
Yeah,
I know. Miss you guys, we have some fun stuff planned for the offseason, too.
Oh, so yeah. We're going to keep it going year-round. Than ever.
Yes.
Fantasy focus offseason is going to be legit. Yeah. We're going to have all kinds of crazy conversations and fun conversations and insightful conversations.
It'll be a ton of fun.
But in the meantime, we're going to win some championships.
That's right.
Let's go.
Right.
That's right. I love that mentality, Mike. Let's go. Let's get some championships. Some titles.
Check out yesterday's podcast if you missed the other previews. Check out CSS DFS if you want to win some money on the DFS slate here for Saturday. A reminder, Saturday slate this week. We love you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here in week 16. Don't forget to love each other. Please be kind to yourself. Be nice to your family over the holidays. We'll see you guys next Wednesday.
Wednesday, man. What am I going to do for the next 5 days?
You're going to
sleep.
Sleep tonight, potentially. Sleep. No football tonight, maybe.
What Christmas sweater are you going to wear?
Tomorrow. You'll find out.
Tomorrow? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can't wait. Oh, yeah, Christmas sweaters on FF Now tomorrow.
Let's go.
Love it.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.